How many of you are so thankful we got a God that loves us? How many of you are glad to know because of Jesus Christ you can stand? How many of y'all glad to know this morning that anything and everything is possible in this room today? That anything is possible. There is a God, His name is Jesus, He is alive. And by the way, He doesn't take summer vacation. He's doing the same thing He did when He came. I want you to go with me to the 9th chapter of Matthew. What is this about? I'm wrestling with the question that I've wrestled with all of my life, and I've determined I will probably go to my grave wrestling with this question. Why go to church? Is that not weird coming from a pastor? All my life I've had a question. Why go to church? Even as a pastor, sometimes I go, Lord, what are we doing? What are we doing? What do we do this for? Well, I do know one reason we need to come together. I got one reason that I'm absolutely sure of. I'm not sure of everything, but I'm sure of one thing. I know God wants us to tell others about Jesus. You see, I don't have to pray for 50 years over that. I don't have to have 200 meetings about that. I don't have to know if we think that's the will of God. I know that's the will of God. You see, there's a difference when you think it's the will of God and you know it's the will of God. God wants people in His kingdom. And guess what? He pulls this thing together. This living creature. This beautiful bride. With all kinds of crazy people. Who love Jesus. And He says, now I want you to go and be. I want you to write down that word. For you note takers, write down that word. Put it in big capital, big letters, big block letters. Be. B-E. I want you to go be what I am. You see, I think where the church misses it is we want to be what we want to be. We want to act like we want to act. You know, I don't want to act Baptist. I don't want to act Methodist. I don't want to act Pentecostal. I don't want to act Church of Christ. I want to be like who? Now, you get a church doing that, that'll change things. What would happen if Hillview acted like Jesus? What did Jesus do all day? You ever ask yourself, what did Jesus do all day? What does He do? Where does He go? Well, go with me to Matthew. We get a glimpse of what Jesus did. And church, by the way, I just want to tell you something. This is what I'm excited about because we want to get our pastors into what Jesus does. And I want to thank you guys because you know what? You all are a great church. I mean, we got a long way to go, but we've come a long way too. Amen? I am so glad that I don't have to fuss at y'all all the time. Because I can fuss. I'm so glad that we've understood this, that a pastor's job is not to keep office hours from 9 to 5. Now, I tell you who thought that up. The devil. Now, I can't tell you this, though. You know, used to, I'd say, I've never seen anybody walk in the office to get saved. I can't say that anymore. Because I've found since you all live like Jesus, and since you all get out in the community, and since you all love people, let me tell you what happened this week. Let me tell you something crazy that happened this week. We were up in staff meeting, and contrary to popular belief, we do pray together. And on Tuesday mornings, your staff has prayer together. We have prayer, not planning, prayer together. And we have a devotion and a word and a prayer, and we seek the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the midst of all that, Susan Davison, her stomach started hurting. I think it's because Pastor Widow's doing devotion or something. Anyway, her stomach started hurting, and she had to go downstairs. And when she went downstairs, there were two young people, and they said, "We need Jesus." I said, praise God, the Lord made Susan Davis's stomach hurt. How many of y'all realize God will give you a tummy ache so somebody else might get saved? God will urge you and move you to the opportunity of the harvest. Now, what are we to be about doing? It's as simple as this. First of all, how many of you would agree with me that Jesus made your life better? Amen. How many of y'all, your life is better because Jesus Christ is in it? Okay, and you got to come be, you know, here's the thing. You got to become convinced of that. You know, my life is better because I follow Jesus. There are better things that happen in my life because Jesus Christ is in my life. Now, do painful things still happen in my life? Absolutely. But I handle them better. Hello? Yeah, he's here today, isn't he? Circulating. God in surround sound. You ready? Look. Better things happen in my life. Until you're convinced of that, you'll never share the gospel. Until you're convinced of that, you'll never share the gospel. And I want you to hear, I don't want you to be a religious group of people. Now, right now, we do not have that reputation. I've never heard anybody say, man, over at Hillview Heights, those are just the most religious people I know. Most of our religious people leave here. And when they do, I say, praise God. I've found one less Pharisee helps you get the harvest going. Because here's what Pharisees do. They block people from Jesus. Here's what Jesus' followers do. They bring people to Jesus. Now, we're talking about serving God. You can sum serving God up with this simple statement. I want my life to be used to bring people to Jesus in whatever I do. Now, let me explain something. I think we get... Now, this is just me. This is opinion. This is an opinion. You can disagree with this. But I think we spend way too much time trying to do grandiose things for God. And I think even after we do them, He's not impressed. Okay, we had promise keepers and we filled up a whole stadium. Guess what God says? So what? So what? You had a crowd. He said, listen, guys, I see every one of you all the time. Now, there's a sight. I see the crowd. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not crowded. I'm going to point something to you. Jesus saw the crowd and He said, it's not crowded. That's what Jesus said. That He said, the way to heaven is narrow. But the way to hell, inferno, wide. More will choose that than the other. And you and I got a choice. Do you want your life to be a life that brings others to who? It's that simple. Now watch. Instead of trying to plan the next Billy Graham crusade, why don't you have a good marriage? See, one of the reasons we don't have any credibility is because we have the same divorce rate as people that don't follow Jesus. One of the ways you serve Jesus is have a good marriage. And you know how you have a good marriage? Gentlemen, if you will say, yes, ma'am, you will be married forever and ever. Amen. So it's not that hard. You don't have to do it. Just act like you're going to do it. It works. Yes, ma'am. Yes, honey. All right. I tell every guy before he gets married, if you just say yes, honey, you stay married. Now watch. Love one another in your marriage. Raise your children well. Is that a good witness? Does that bring people to Jesus? See, we don't ever think about those things bringing people to Jesus. We don't think about that. What we think about is, I got to go do some supersized event for God. And the reason we think about that, because we could care less about Jesus, we want our egos recognized. Now, that's the truth of the matter. We want our name on a little brochure. I got so tickled at all this prayer stuff that goes on. I've never seen as much organization it takes to pray. I mean, you got to have a meal, you got to have this, you got to have that, you got to have a conference, you got to have 500 meetings over one prayer meeting. You know what Jesus said about that? It's gone as far as it's going to go in the event. Maybe that's why we don't see anything happening. In fact, Jesus said, best place to pray is go get in your closet and pray. Where nobody hears you but me. Nobody sees you but me. And nobody knows you but me. Woo! Woo! Now that's getting down where prayer hurts. You know what I mean? Oh, that'll get... Oh! Because God, you say, Lord, you know. He goes, yeah, I do. Lord, I think. He goes, no, you don't think that. I know what you think. Lord, I'd really like... No, you wouldn't. You see, if you'll let Jesus be recognized, heaven will be glorified. Can you remember that? If you let Jesus be recognized, heaven will be glorified. Now, back to the question. What does Jesus do? Pastor Whittle, in my very simplistic mind, I would sum it up that Jesus brings heaven wherever He goes. How many of y'all have ever brought heaven to McDonald's? You need to. How many of y'all bring heaven to Walmart? There's a place that needs heaven. Especially when there's 15 checkout lines. One open. Now, how many of y'all are raising heaven when that goes on? Or you're raising something else when it goes on? See, our job is to raise heaven. Let me show you Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to start with verse 27. And then we're going to get to what God's called us to do. I just want you to see two incidents. People get better when Jesus' people get around them. That's number two. Because number one, Jesus has given me a better life. How many of y'all got a better life? Let me go through it quickly. If you choose to be married, that ought to be a better deal. If you choose to have children, it ought to be a better deal having children with Jesus. I don't know how to raise children without Jesus. Because sometimes I just had to look at my kids and go, hey, it's on Jesus. You don't have to argue with me. Jesus got you. Guess what? How many of y'all go to work knowing that's what Jesus called you to do? Let me tell you something that's very holy. This is holy. It's spiritual. It's called rolling out of bed at 6 o'clock in the morning. This is holy. Rolling out of bed and letting your feet hit the turf and walking yourself to work and making a difference in this work, in this world, is a spiritual activity. You know, here's what amazes me. Jesus worked every day. I mean, He went to work. I see all these spiritual people, none of them work. None of them work. They tell me how holy they are, and I said, well, go get a job and then be holy. I'm serious about this. Got a lot of our Hispanic people here today. Man, I'm proud of y'all. You know what I love about you guys? Y'all know how to work. Yeah! Everybody whining, oh, I can't find a job. That's because you don't work. See, a job requires what?
Work.
And what we have is everybody wants to be an executive. And when we come to church, guess what everybody wants to be? An executive. In fact, we here at Hillview are not in the business of developing leaders. Because the Bible never called us to develop leaders.
Amen.
It called us to develop followers.
Now,
some of the followers will become leaders, but you'll never see a leader that can't be a follower. If you can't follow somebody else, you sure can't lead anybody else. You never will be able to. Because leadership is not telling people what to do. That's not leadership. Leadership is living such an extraordinary life that people would want to do what you're doing. They want to do what you're doing. Can you imagine if we released our extraordinary life in Bowling Green, what would happen to the city of Bowling Green? It's time to do that. Well, let's look what happens here. Jesus went about bringing heaven to earth. Can you kind of agree with that? Tim Holmes was fixing to bring heaven to Ashland, Kentucky. In the midst of suet, we're going to bring clean air. In all honesty, in the midst of a lot of heartbreak, we're going to bring healing and hope. That's the people that we are. And Jesus went into town. Look what He did. as Jesus went from there, he just dealt with a dead girl and a sick woman. Now, as he's walking through town, two guys call out to him, "Have mercy on us, Son of God." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and asked him, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" Jesus asked him, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. He touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, it will be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." What do y'all think about that? What do some of y'all think about that have to broadcast every miracle that goes on in your life? Did y'all notice that was in red letters? Jesus heals them and then tells them what? Warns them sternly. I mean, the Holy Spirit takes time into Scripture to say, this warning was even stern. What did Jesus do that for? Can't hide the real thing. You can't hide the real thing, and you always have to prop up the fake thing. You always have to promote that that's false. Did y'all get that? Think about the things that are false in your life. What do you have to keep doing? Don't you have to keep convincing yourself that they're all right? Mm-hmm. How many of y'all got some activities in your life that you just have to convince yourself it's all right? Yeah. You know it's not, but you can convince yourself what? Okay. One more what?
One more drink.
One more drink, one more whatever. How many of y'all got a whatever? Anybody here got a whatever in their life? I got a couple of whatevers in my life. And guess what? I know it's no good. And guess what? I'm going to try it one more time, see if it got better. Now here's where I'm going with this. What did Jesus do? He went around sharing better things with people, showing them the kingdom of heaven. He heals these two blind guys. Why? If you're blind and you get your sight, what kind of condition are you in? Follow my line of thinking here. Good. Thank you. Thank you, Linda. Yeah, don't get complicated. Better! How many of you all found that it's better to see than be blind?
Amen.
Really?
Yes.
Y'all would rather see than be blind?
Yeah.
Are you sure? On every issue? How many of y'all want to see yourselves clearly? Oh. How many of you want God to heal you so you can really see who you are? Or do you like your illusions better? It's seeing stuff's tough. He healed him. He said, don't go tell anybody. Like that's going to happen. But guess who's broadcasting the message now? I want you to see what happens in healing. When somebody gets better, others start talking. Why has Hillview Heights Church grown? People got better. This is amazing. Watch this. 17 years, Pastor Tim, you were with us from another church. We've never knocked on a door. We've never met here on Mondays and had door knocking throughout the city. How did y'all get here? Gary, I didn't meet you when you came from Texas with the big welcome wagon saying, hey, bring you and your lovely wife to Hillview. How'd you get here?
I found out where people were getting saved.
Found out where people were getting saved and I want to be a part of the action. You see, God will use people that will just live their lives. Now, here's what I want you to know. Every one of you are important to the kingdom of God. Look at your neighbor and say, you're extraordinarily important. We're going to do big words today. Come on, extraordinarily important. I want you to confess that you're extraordinarily important, brother. Extraordinarily important. Come on, confess it to one another. Use that big word. Doc, you're extraordinarily important. Not ordinarily important. Extraordinarily what? Important. Because Floyd, somebody needs their car fixed, but they need Jesus on the way out of the door. So you go to Floyd's, you can get your car fixed and your soul saved all in one location. If people get around you, now think about this, do they see better? So I'm going to ask you two questions. When they get around you, do they see better? Do they see a little more of what Jesus is like? Do they see better? Because Jesus got a knack at healing blind people. He did it all the time. He kind of likes healing blind people. I think there's a reason for that. One of the reasons Jesus went about is so we could see what heaven was like. Does that make sense? So I just want to tell you, when people get around you, you're going to follow Jesus. Y'all fixing to go on a motorcycle ride. What's the mission of the ride? First of all, stay upright. Second of all, wherever you go, wherever you land, wherever you stop, wherever you eat, people ought to see who? Jesus. When I coach football, those kids ought to see what? Now, sometimes I got to get the devil out of them so they can see Jesus. But they need to see who? I need to be a healer to the situation. You need to be a healer to your situations. People ought to see better because you breathe. And he goes on to what happens. But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. Here's the job of the harvest. Go tell the good news of Jesus, folks. It's as clear as a bell. We've wasted a lot of time. We've been under a lie of the devil. We've hip-hopped around. We've done everything in the church except what we're supposed to. Share the gospel. Go tell it. Is God mad? You better believe He's mad. We've spent trillions of dollars in the American church. And the average church has 7 baptisms a year. We've done everything except what He said do. Never one time did He say, get in a big convention hall and jump up and down. That ain't in there in one page. And we've spent billions of dollars doing it. See, what we forget is the devil is religious. He's a great preacher. Wonderful song leader. I remind Pastor Keith of that all the time. If I was the devil, you know what I'd do? I'd get people caught up in the crowd so they'd stay out of the town. If I was the devil, I'd convince people that the church is large when it's really small. And as long as I can keep them convinced, they'll never get in the harvest. Look at this, a serious message. The second person Jesus healed, while they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. How many of y'all still believe they're demons? There's demons, demonic forces. There are, they're demonic forces. There's real demons. I mean, they're little critters. I mean, they're there. They're real. So, well, I don't understand demons. That's all right. They understand you. Here's the good news. If you stay in Jesus, you don't have to worry about them because Jesus always has authority over them. Jesus, watch this right here. Walks over to this man, demon-possessed. They knew he was demon-possessed, and he could not talk. He was brought to Jesus, and when the demon was driven out, the man who was mute spoke. And the crowd was amazed and says, nothing like this has ever been in Israel. But the Pharisees said, here they come. Man, nothing changes. Anytime God does something great, who speaks up? Here comes the Pharisees say, it is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons. Now let's think about how stupid people are. So a demon's going to drive out a demon. I mean, so like, if you're two demons talking, Hank and Ralph, hey, I want to have a little more power, so I want you to leave so people will think I'm impressive. Demons don't drive out demons. Jesus drives out demons. Demons like to hang together, much like weak people hang in groups when they talk big. The people are scary are those who can walk by themselves. Especially if they're filled by the Holy Ghost. Because then they can stand in Jesus. And when you stand in Jesus, the good news is you can really stand. You don't have to waver. And he goes on and Jesus says this. He kind of gets tickled. He says this. Now, Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. I want you to grasp that this is what ought to be going on in church. We ought to preach the good news. How many of y'all are hearing good news right now? How many of y'all know that you're a sinner and Jesus can save you? I go over that every week. You know why? Because every week there's sinners that need to be saved. And if you ever get tired of seeing people get saved, I hope that you will get saved. No, I'm very serious. Because I really feel for religious people. I did not feel for religious people. I'll be that honest. But I really feel for religious people. Because I'd hate to go through all that rigmarole and go to hell anyway. I mean, if you're going to go to hell, at least drink and party your way there. You know what I mean? I'm serious. At least have a fun trip on the way there. I think what Jesus was talking about, that's what he told the Pharisees, you make people twice the sons of hell. What you're into causes hell, and your destination is hell. The very religion you practice is hell. I don't know about you, but it's not hell for me to come to church on Sunday morning. Now, I didn't wake up this morning going, oh, man, it's Sunday. I got to go preach. I have done that before. Not here. But I have. I used to dread preaching on Sunday morning. You know why? I had to see church people. And I was the pastor. So if that's where it started from the top, can you imagine how glorious the congregation was? I'm glad to come and preach the good news. We ought to be glad to know that we carry good news. We also ought to be messengers of God's healing. Now, I'm not talking about running around dropping everybody in Walmart by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about being messengers of God's healing. Praying for people. Jesus does the healing. Amen? Let me help you all. Benny Hinn can't heal. You ought to look at his hair and know he's not. He doesn't even have the power to comb his hair right, much less heal somebody. That's Jesus Christ that heals people. Jesus Christ. Now, can Jesus Christ heal through Benny Hinn? Absolutely. But he can heal through Pastor Tim. And he can heal through Gary. And he can heal through Charlene. He can even heal from a boy from Butler County. Amen? He can use a lawyer in the courthouse to heal. Merle, he can even use you to heal somebody. Why? He is God. Now look at this. Folks, y'all get, he went to town. So here's what I'm encouraging you to do, church. We got to keep going to town. And when he saw the crowds, verse 36, you need to write this one down. You need to underline, you need to put a star behind it. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. How many of y'all have ever been harassed and helpless? Anybody ever been harassed and helpless? Didn't y'all go to school? There's a harassed, helpless situation. They give you the test and you got to take it whether you want to or not. Jack, did that happen to you? They made me take them. Even if I made a bad grade on them. Then guess what they did? Made you take it again. I think I took English 7 times at Western. And he went on and guess what he said? They were like sheep without a shepherd. Somebody needs to show them where Jesus is. You know what a shepherd does? He brings sheep to their care. Now, hold on. I'm about finished here, so be really careful. Do you? You know, I'm preaching to the choir in here this morning, but I wanted us to be reminded. How many of y'all know the greatest care a human being can have is in the hands of Jesus Christ? Now, we got to be careful, because sometimes we say we're bringing people to Jesus, and we're really bringing people to our concept. And sometimes we say we're bringing people to Jesus, but we're really bringing them to our way of thinking. No, our job is to really bring them to Jesus. To Jesus. And you know what I found? Jesus will heal them. Jesus will love them. Jesus will change them. Jesus will speak into them. Jesus will recreate them. Jesus will celebrate in them. What would happen if our church just became absolutely committed to say, I want you to meet my Lord Jesus. Here he is. Say, how do you know him? Because he knows me. How do you know he loves me? Because he loves me. How do you know he'll forgive me? You got it. There's the message. How many of y'all know the message of the gospel? How many of y'all know the gospel? Okay, 2, 3, come on, 4, 5. How many of y'all have heard the gospel? Y'all all better have your hands up. I try to give it to you every week. The gospel means this, a true message, a true message. Now, how many of y'all share the gospel? Good. I want you sharing that. Listen, don't tell people to come to Hillview Heights Church. How many of y'all understand this truth? You can come to Hillview and go to hell. You can sit here Sunday after Sunday, raise your hand there and worship, have a good time, get a nice little feeling, and not know Jesus. I want you to know Jesus. And to know Jesus, you've got to take a step and you've got to go, whoa, I am helpless and harassed. In recovery, we would call it this. I am powerless over my situation. I have come to realize that I am not going to change unless somebody changes me. But I want to change. How many of y'all know here's a technical theological word. You ready? There's a slew of folk that want to change. Angela, they got a slew up there in Mumfordville, don't they?
Yeah.
It's a slew of folk. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If you're from the South, you know what I'm talking about. Slew! A few people up north, it's a whole bunch, guys. A slew of folk that want to know Jesus. But let me tell you what, they won't know Jesus till you know Him first. Do you know Jesus goes to the town? Do you know Jesus walks amongst the people? Look at this. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful. Who said that? What are we missing in the church today? I get so tickled. What are we missing today? Guess what? This is a shame. I'm going to go ahead and fuss a little bit. In our church, as holy as a lot of us claim to be, we can't find people to watch our babies. You know why? We're full of stuff. Now, I can find people to do what they want to do, but I can't find people to do what Jesus wants them to do. Well, I got quiet in here all of a sudden. Holy hush. Oh, my gosh. I mean, isn't that a shame? A church got several thousand people in it. Can't find enough people that are called out by God or holy enough to go watch the babies that are coming in. But yet, these same people will spend hours praying over a lost generation. If I was the devil, what I would do is tell people to pray about stuff but never work it. I found Jesus' prayer life so much different than ours. He prayed in touch. We talk, 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 we talk. Reminds me of most of the meetings I'm in. People talking about what might happen. A lot of you are educators in here. Y'all missing any workers? Interesting. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful. Dr. Ward, we don't have to ask the Lord, Lord, will you send us a harvest? If we ever prayed that, He'd speak back down and say, Jamie and Steve, you're not my brightest servants. Read your Bible. I've already told you the harvest is what? What's God missing? Workers! Now, I want you, now I don't want to say, Kayla, I don't want to say harvesters. Because the Bible doesn't say harvesters. It says the one thing we don't want to do. Work! Because there's no glory being a worker for us. When you become a worker, the glory is for Jesus. You see, that's why He said worker. He said, it's my harvest, they're my children, they're my people, and I want you to go pick up what I've already done. I experienced this yesterday. I was kind of frustrated because I saw these beautiful people, and guess what I wanted to do? I wanted to preach, but I couldn't preach because you had to speak Spanish to preach. And the only Spanish I knew was like Freddy's Spanish. Jesus. But you know what? And I kept hearing this sermon in my head. I said, Ayers, I didn't call you to be a preacher. I called you to be a worker. And sometimes when you work, you preach. And sometimes when you work, you barbecue. And sometimes when you work, you just simply pray. And sometimes when you work, you just love folk. And sometimes when you work, you presence of being there communicates the attitude I need in that harvest. Oh, is it not disappointing to find out that God does not need you to create the harvest? How many of y'all find that to be an ego blower? God doesn't need me to heal. God doesn't need me to preach. God needs me to work, though. Work what? Harvest. Now, can I give you a rhythm, though? You got to let the Holy Ghost work you so you can go work the harvest. But people do need to get saved. Y'all clear on that? So if you come to Hillview and you don't know Jesus, we want you to get saved. Is that straight up enough? If you're going to hell, we don't want you to go there. Is that clear enough? You say, well, Pastor, I don't believe I'm going to hell. Well, Jesus said you are. You know what? It really doesn't matter what you believe. How many of y'all found out about half what you believe didn't work anyway? Hello! How many of y'all found what you reckoned needed to be reckoned again? It's what I found. And I found God loves me no matter what. And then sometimes I'm harassed and helpless, but Jesus is always patient and kind and loving and faithful and healing and merciful and the Lord of the harvest. And here's what he said. Ask the Lord of the harvest. Ask the Lord. Now here's where we need a lot of prayer. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers. Where? Where do you think the field might be? Wherever there's a need, Lord, I'll work it. I'll work it. I'll work it. And that brings me to the altar today. We're going to have prayer time today. How many of y'all want to like have a sermon and do what it says? That could be weird. Meredith, sometimes I have to coach you in football. Do I get happy when people actually do what they're told to do? Yeah. Like when you actually make the block you're supposed to make, things go better. We score touchdowns. We have victory. And I'll just tell you how I'm wired, folks. I know some of y'all disagree with this. I hate losing. I don't see any merit in losing. I don't see any point in losing. Losing stinks. And for all you people that have all this comfort, you go, well, it's about everybody being participatory. That's for people that lose. That's why they say that. I've noticed that every coach that says it's about participation has a losing record. And every coach who says it's about winning, guess what? It's about winning. Now, I know some of you are going to disagree with me. And that's okay. It's because you're a loser. Because you like losing. You want an excuse for it. Now, guess what? Here's why, J.D. Shoulders, you know why people don't like winning? It takes work. You're going to make an A in school? It takes work. You know what I found? You can do nothing and make an F. I want you all to know, I'm going to be very confessional. I have had that experience. Did you know if you don't go to class, you don't take the test, you don't listen well, you will make an F. Did you know even if you pray a week before the final, you will still make an F. Even if you pray like this, dear God, have mercy on me, a sinner who has not studied all semester. I am a sheep that's very harassed right now, helpless. And your word says that you have compassion. You know what God's compassion was? He gave me an F and told me to work. You know why He did that? He loves me. He's told us to go work the harvest. Now, Hillview, I know you. Hey, listen, we got to see that the harvest is plentiful. Just let me give you a definition of plentiful. More than we think. Does that help? And I know sometimes it gets easy here to think that we're doing big things because, you know, you'll go to God's stock and you'll see a field full of people and you go, oh, the harvest is plentiful. It's more than that. Can I remind you of something? 60,000+ people in Warren County unchurched. Now, y'all correct me. I'll stand corrected, man. If my theology is correct, that means today, if God blows the horn, you know, it's all over. Fourth quarter. Y'all ever heard that horn? How many of y'all have said this after the horn? We almost won. Well, guess what that means? You lost.
Amen.
I like this one. You were basketball coach, Mark, said, man, they only got us by one. Guess what that means? They won. Isn't that interesting? What did it say the final days will there'll be a what? Horn. Horn goes off today from God. That's the fourth quarter. It's over. And some of you all be going, well, it can't go off yet because my circles say that this has to happen before God can come. Let me help you. He's not going to listen to your circle or your Bible teacher. You know when he's going to blow the horn? When he wants to. I hope he don't blow it today. In fact, I pray every day, God, don't blow that horn today, please. But don't blow it today, Lord. Because my buddy Bob, he hadn't received you yet. And my buddy Joe, he doesn't know you yet. And that little kid that's in that nasty situation in his house, he hadn't come to you yet. God, don't blow the horn today. Give us one more day to see if we can work that harvest. Give us one more hour to see if we can work that harvest. Until you get that attitude, you won't share the gospel. This is my county. Your county, the county we live and breathe in, the county we drink coffee in the morning, the county we see each other in, 60,000 unchurched people. That means today, 60,000 plus people. And I ain't even counting in the people that are attending the church and faking it. Go to hell today from Warren County. Now do you see why I'm crazy? You see how I don't have time to fool around with religious people? They take up so much time. And I read the Bible. Jesus didn't fool with them. He dusted his feet off and he went to sick people and harassed people and busted up people and people that needed this message of hope. And he said, see, hear, listen, love, work the what? Harvest. Thank you all for being workers. Today at this altar we have Pastor Tim. Would you stand up? My new brother Tim Mathis, would you stand up? He's pastor of Friendship Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. Thank you. Winthrow, I'm going to let you stand up representing your church. Or Boney, you can understand me a little bit, can't you? Stand up representing. This is the Hispanic church from Morristown, Tennessee. You all stand up. Praise God. Thank you. Gracias. Gracias. Now, let me tell you something. I don't know why we've gotten in Hispanic ministry. It's not because your pastor has a knack at understanding foreign languages. I took Spanish college because you had to. And my tutor was too attractive for me to learn the language. Elizabeth prayed me back to Western after that Spanish experience. I got to tell you what happened this weekend. We had Spanish Festival. Pastor Keith and Pastor Tim and Pastor William from these three churches, they really put this together. They worked this harvest. 59 people came to know Jesus Christ in the past 2 days in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Now, I want to thank you guys for being workers. I want you to see how this works. I want you to see how this works. A lot of people prayed. You know what? We sat in the building that your tithes and offerings helped pay for. We sat on seats that you used to sit on and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We sat on those seats on Friday night and worship. We're going to worship on those seats again this afternoon that you worked for. So I want to thank you for going to work. I want to thank you for turning a dime. I want to thank you for putting your 10% in. I want to thank you for putting your little extra in when it's a special project. I want you to know 59 souls aren't going to hell. Because people like Victor, where's Victor? Because people like Victor, he's a madman. He wins souls. I couldn't understand every word he was saying, but I knew what he was saying. You got my drift? He witnessed to a Hispanic brother, and he was like, and I'm like, his brother's coming out of hell after all that. I know that. Yeah. Victor literally got bit by a dog so some might be saved. Dog jumped him out there on Louisville Road. Victor didn't go like this. Well, I'm a big sissy. I have a dog bite. I can't witness tomorrow. They just put a bandage on and led some more people to the Lord the next day. Trusted God to heal the dog bite. You know, you go work the harvest, sometimes you'll get bit. I used to work the harvest, and we'd get chiggers. Y'all ever get chiggers in the garden? You're working the harvest, and what do you get? Chiggers. And guess what you do the next day? Go get some more chiggers. It's working the harvest. Your hands get dirty when you work the harvest. You sweat when you work the harvest. You don't perspire. See, that's the problem with the church. In my opinion, we got a church that wants to perspire. It's because we got a bunch of sissies leading it. We need a church that needs to sweat. Jesus sweat blood and tears. He did not perspire. You ready? All right, here's some things we need. We're going to pray over these people. We're going to continue to work the harvest. Pastor Holmes, my brother, come here. This is going to be hard. You know, sometimes I love it when God does what He's supposed to do. And I still love what God does, what He's supposed to do, but I'm going to miss Tim. And I knew God would probably do this when Tim came. I was just hoping he'd change his mind in a few years. God, not you. Tim Holmes came from Ashland, Kentucky here. He had just started Hillside Community Church. We needed Tim here in this part of the ministry for a moment of time to stabilize our youth ministry, to stabilize several things that were going on. And I will always be indebted that you came and stabilized. Tim needed to really see how a church like this functioned. He really needed to be involved. He needed to be one of its pastors. God called him here. For 5 years, Tim Holmes has done that. It's in January you came trooping to my office, wasn't it? 1st of January. As we were releasing the vision of this new year, he came in the office and he said, "Can I talk to you?" I knew what he wanted before he came in, but I just acted like I pretended like I didn't know. He said, "You know, God really wants me to do ministry in Ashland." I said, "I know, but what about a little disobedience for the next 4 or 5 years? You okay with that?" And he said, "I got to go." I said, "I know you got to go. But I said, I want us to do it right." And so we've spent from January to this point in time, Tim's run back and forth to Ashland. We got a core group of people. We want to have a church that really makes an impact. And Tim's heart's in Ashland, Kentucky, just like mine's in Bowling Green, Kentucky, because Tim's from there. Tim's going there, and he's not leaving us. He's going from us to another part of the field. Is that because this is not really transition? Because he's still connected here. He is our church planter in Ashland, Kentucky, and this is the way this happens, folks. And I wish I could sit here and tell you in the next 5 years we will plant churches thus, 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 and thus. That's just not the way God does it here. I mean, how many of y'all knew exactly when you was going to get pregnant? Did you plan for that, or did you just wake up one morning real sick and say, "Ho, ho, 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 the Spirit has moved"? Kind of way it happens here. Hillside Church is going to be blessed, Tim. We thank you for your ministry, your truth, your love for Jesus, your love for your wife, your love for your girls, and your love soon for that new son that you will have. And we thank you that you're going to go to Ashland, Kentucky, one of the most unchurched places in the state of Kentucky. And there are going to be people come to know Jesus Christ on a daily basis. Amen. That's a part of this service. I want all of our other pastors, if we got pastors, and listen, our pastors aren't skipping church. Let me tell you what went on this weekend. Let's talk about working the harvest. Our youth pastors are in New York City right now this morning ministering. We've been with a Hispanic church all weekend. There have been praise teams out singing at other churches. There have been people working other places. There's people coming to Christ every day. There are going to be some people get saved right here in the service. Work the harvest. We got to work, folks. And Tim, we got a presentation from this church. You're taking these with you. These are the baptismal waiters that Tim wore while he baptized people here. And we're going to start a new tradition. When they go to a new church, starting a new church, you're going to take your waiters. So you take your waiters, and I got one prayer for these waiters. You wear them out. And when you wear them out, we'll buy you some new ones, okay? Wear them out. The greatest robes we get to wear in this church are not the ones that have the stripes showing our academic achievement. But they're the robes that we wear as pastors when someone confesses the grace of Jesus Christ in their life. And so on behalf of Hillview Heights Church, the Mommy Church, through our new child, we want to make sure there's enough baptismal robes. Because there's going to be a harvest. Definitely wear these out. And we'll get you some new ones. Amen. And I'm going to ask you to stand right now. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray for the harvest. And right now, if you need to know Jesus Christ, and listen, I want you to hear me. I don't want you moving. I don't want you going to Bible study. I want you to listen to God right now. We're going to straighten up a little bit around here. And when God's got a movement going on, all this other activity needs to stop. I'm not worried about what you need to do right now. I'm worried about what God needs to tell you right now. And as these pastors gather, I'm going to ask that our mission team gather. Pastor Tim, I'm going to ask that you gather. And we're going to pray over Friendship Church. In Knoxville, Tennessee. They're going to come to this altar. I'm going to ask Morristown Church if you all come to the altar. And I'm going to ask some of you to come and pray. The harvest starts with prayer. But it doesn't stop with it. It starts with prayer that leads me to move and work and touch. And it keeps me praying. Now listen to me today. There are people in this auditorium that need to be baptized. I know it, you know it. You say, Pastor, what's the matter with you today? I got to walk the streets of Bowling Green Friday and Saturday. I walked back into my past. I walked back to where I was 18 and 19 or 19 years old when Elizabeth and I started ministry together at a place called Emmanuel Baptist Church. And I walked down the streets over there marked by a lighthouse and I walked back 25 years of ministry. In the same apartments where I used to say, hey bro, what's going on? I now say, hola, buenas tardes. Dios te bendiga. May God bless you. I said, oh Lord, my city's changed, hadn't it? And he said, yeah. I went to grocery stores where they sold Spanish food. I drove out by the mosque. My city's changed. See, part of your city's changed. That's okay. It's okay. Because my Jesus hadn't changed. In the same cross that Roland S. Burhans talked about when I was a 9-year-old boy down at First Baptist Church. In the same pipe organ that grew out and blew out the great song, the church is one foundation. And Jesus Christ, her Lord. That's the same foundation. It's the same Jesus. Even though my city's really changed. Today I'm going to ask that you would come and you would be absolutely authentic before God, transparent. And say, God, I want to thank you for saving me. Anybody once again thankful for being saved? And then guess what? After you thank God for saving somebody, Lord, I want to be a part of the harvest. And church, I'm just going to be honest. We've been given much. We've been given much. Would you agree with me at Hillview? We've been given much. I don't want to hear about our babies not being taken care of anymore. I don't think God can honor that. I don't want to hear about it in a church this size, us not having people to teach class. You say, well, nobody will know I'm in there. Good. They better know Jesus is in there. Thank you for giving. Well, we got, what, 6 puzzle pieces left or 7, Jim? 7? Let's get those puzzle pieces put out and get this building up. I just want it done that fast. Let's just get it done. Okay, it's time to get that done. You say, why? We've got to put kids in there. We got to teach some of us how to speak Spanish and others of us how to speak English. We got to teach all of us how to speak heaven. That's that real. I want you to come pray today. We're having another service at the Hispanic church at 2 o'clock. I want you to pray God's just going to open up and bless that. Maybe there's 300 people that are going to come to know Christ today. I want you to pray over Pastor Tim. You just come up and say, Tim, praise God, may Ashland see more people come to know Jesus than they ever have before. How many of y'all would pray that? How many of y'all would pray that? Be a part of the harvest today. And you know how you become a part of the harvest today? You take a step toward this altar instead of standing there staring that I went to church. I want you involved. If you want to sit and listen to good preaching, you need another church. If you want to be coached up to the harvest, you're in the right place. But pray with me. Now listen, if you need to be saved today, right now, pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know today I'm a sinner. God, I know I absolutely broke all the 10 commandments. I've not done what you've asked me to do. Lord, come into my what? Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Just like Jennifer and Christy did today. They confessed that confession. You asked Jesus in your life. If you need to be baptized, you know you've asked Jesus in your life this week, but you need to be baptized. You know you need to do that. You come and say, God, I'm going to get in that baptistry and confess you as my Lord. Man, how can we preach on healing today and not open up the altar to healing? Impossible! If you need to be healed today, why don't you come and say, Lord Jesus, heal me. Gary Osberg, where are you? Gary Osberg, when you love the Lord and you know He can heal, He'll even take you to the hospital and have a heart attack, won't He? Is that real? That's why Gary's here today. Gary had a heart attack in the hospital. That's a good place to have one. Come on, folks. I'm holding this altar. Lord Jesus, right now, I want to lift up Pastor Tim. May he be anointed with the power, hallelujah, of the Holy Spirit in such a way that the love of God will change Ashland, Kentucky. Lord, I pray for those that are lost here, that today they're going to be saved. Those that are baptized, need to be baptized, are going to be baptized. Those who need to be anointed with the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, anoint this pastor, Pastor Tim, with the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Don't let him fear it. Don't let him shun it. Don't let him ignore it. God, you've given him power today. You've given Vanessa power today. May he preach with the power of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just lift up this day that we as a church How many of y'all would pray this? That we as a church would get in the harvest. You know what I pray for every one of you, my brothers and sisters right here? That before the week ends, somebody will have come to know Jesus because Jesus got out of you. And guess what? Touch them. Church, how many, we're going to have church today. How many of y'all want to have church today? Come on, how many of y'all want to have church today? Let's have church today. Come on up. There's plenty of room at the altar. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If anybody needs to talk about baptism, if you'll raise your hand. I know the altar's crowded. That's a good thing. Raise your hand. We'll get to you. All right, church. Guess what? Let's all scoot up. We're going to end it right here. Come on. Scoot on up. Come on. We'll get them there for Bible study. Y'all come on up. Seriously, let's come on up. Let's end right here at the altar.